This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
So if strangers cannot be harmed by your tongue and by your hands, the first group of people that should be the safest from your tongue and the safest from your hands should be who? صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى أتباعه خير الأمم الذين بارك الله بهم كافة الناس العرب منهم والعجم. فالحمد لله الذي لم يتخذ ولدا ولم يكن له شريك في الملك ولم يكن له ولي من الذل وكبره تكبيرا. والحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا. والحمد لله الذي نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبد الله ورسوله أرسله الله تعالى بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله وكفى بالله شهيدا. فصلى الله عليه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا، أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها وإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. قال الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم بعد أن أقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم: وإذ قال إبراهيم رب اجعل هذا البلد آمنا واجنبني وبني أن نعبد الأصنام رب إنهن أضللن كثيرا من الناس فمن تبعني فإنه مني ومن عصاني فإنك غفور رحيم. ربنا إني أسكنت من ذريتي بواد غير ذي زرع عند بيتك المحرم ربنا ليقيموا الصلاة فاجعل أفئدة من الناس تهوي إليهم وارزقهم من الثمرات لعلهم يشكرون. ربنا إنك تعلم ما نخفي وما نعلن وما يخفى على الله من شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء. الحمد لله الذي وهب لي على الكبر إسماعيل وإسحاق إن ربي لسميع الدعاء. رب اجعل لي مقيم الصلاة ومن ذريتي ربنا وتقبل دعاء. ربنا اغفر لي ولوالدي وللمؤمنين يوم يقوم الحساب. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. اللهم ثبتنا عند الموت بلا إله إلا الله، واللهم اجعلنا من الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر، آمين يا رب العالمين. In a recent khutbah that I gave, I spoke about the Quran's concept of family ties, the value of family ties. And I'll be as brief as I can be about some of the key takeaways from that khutbah, because I want to continue that discussion with you today to try and complete that subject from another perspective. Allah Azza wa Jal has made two kinds of relationships between human beings, ones that we have chosen and ones that He has chosen. I didn't choose my parents, I didn't choose my brother and sister, I didn't choose my children, Allah chose those for me. But you choose a spouse, and you choose a business partner, and you choose a teacher, and you choose, those relationships are relationships of choice. And every relationship we have that has a choice has a contract of some kind, an agreement of some kind. So a marriage, for example, is a contract. An employer and an employee are a contract. But the relationships that Allah chose, those relationships are a kind of contract also, a kind of mithaq also, but that wasn't made by us, it was already made by Allah. So it's not up to us. It's not up to us to change the conditions of that contract, because it wasn't designed by us. You know, Allah in His fitrah also, the way He made the fitrah of human beings, many people look like their mother or their father. So even not only are you tied to them spiritually, but even physically, your genetics, your blood type, Your features are actually, your genes are actually passed down. And that's the nature with which Allah designed families. So somebody can say, I hate my dad, you still look like him. Right? Somebody can say, I can't stand my brother, he's still your twin. People confuse you with him all the time. That's something Allah designed. You can't escape the fitrah that Allah designed. It's bigger than you and me, right? But, you know, drama happens in life, and brothers fight, and parents and children fight, and uncles fight, and, you know, families have conflict. There's barely any family in the world that doesn't have some kind of conflict and some kind of fight. And then part of that sometimes is people cut themselves off from each other and say, you know what, even though you're my brother, I don't want to ever see your face again. Get out of here. You're not my brother anymore. Or somebody will get dramatic and say to his brother, oh, you want to, recently some young man told me he wanted to marry some girl, and he told his brother, and he said, if you marry that girl, you're no longer my brother. Okay, you could say that all you want. He's still your brother. You didn't choose to be his brother. That was Allah designing that. So whether he marries that girl or doesn't marry that girl won't change the fact. The opposite is also true. The Arabs before Islam, when they had a big fight between the husband and the wife, before Islam, they had something called dhihar. Quran talks about that in Surah Al-Mujadala, right? That the husband is so angry at his wife, he says, you know what? We are so over. From today on, you're my mother. That's what he would say to her. Basically, you're basically the same as my mom, which means I can never think of you as my romantic partner again. That's what he's trying to say. We're that finished. I'm that checked out. And Allah literally, you know, expels it out in the Quran. الَّذِينَ يُظَاهِرُونَ مِن نِسَائِهِمْ مَا هُنَّ أُمَّهَاتِهِمْ إِنْ أُمَّهَاتُهُمْ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَلَدْنَهُمْ. Those who say this to their wives, they're not their mothers. Their mothers are the ones who gave them birth. Allah spells it. You can't change that. You can say, I don't want to be married to you anymore. But that's a contract, and contracts have a beginning and contracts have an end. But this relationship doesn't have a beginning and end that we created. So you can't change it. In any case, what I want to build on top of that is people who cut these ties, family ties, the ties that Allah has created. They are not just hurting a relationship. They're breaking something that Allah Himself connected. There's a cord. There's an invisible cord between you and your brother. Allah made that cord. And you thought, and I thought, we have the authority to cut that cord. الَّذِينَ يَقْطَعُونَ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ أَنْ يُصَلْ. This is how he describes it. Those who cut what Allah has commanded, that should remain joined. The other way Allah describes these relationships is ulul arham, people that are bound by the womb of the mother, because these are ties that are come all emanate from birth. Some kind of birth is involved, right? The shared birth makes you a sibling to somebody, right? Or the child of somebody, or the mother or the father of somebody, etc., etc. So the womb is at the center of all of this. And Allah has made the womb so sacred that He says, have taqwa of Allah and have taqwa of al-arham. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَأَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامِ. So it's sacred. So breaking that is a crime against Allah. Cutting those ties is a crime against Allah. And I talked about that in my last khutbah. But I kept track of what people around the world were listening to and asking questions about as they heard that khutbah, and they said, yeah, well, that's great, but what if you have a dad who beats his kids and he's a threat? Or what if you have a, you know, a mother who's a drug addict? Or what if you have a brother who's a danger? Or what if you have an abusive this or that or the other? How are you supposed to keep ties? Am I guilty for not keeping ties if I have these problematic members in my family, right? Or you have, for example, you're raising your children and you're trying to give them a good upbringing, a good environment, be a good mentor to them, but your own brother drinks alcohol, for example. And now when you want to invite him over, he's going to come with a beer in his hand. And your kids are memorizing Quran. What are you going to do? Right? And you say, well, you can't come to the house. Well, if you're going to come, don't bring that stuff. Don't talk about it. But there's no guarantee that, I mean, if he's at a state right now where he doesn't care what Allah says, how do you know he's going to care what you say? Right? So you're putting your children's well-being at risk by bringing that brother to the house. Complicated situation, right? Does Allah talk about these complicated situations? What I want to share with you in this khutbah is Allah doesn't just talk about them by spelling out, well, what if this situation, what if this situation, what if this situation? The way Allah does that is by teaching us the stories and the histories of people whose example we are supposed to follow. So when Allah gave us the examples of prophets and righteous people in the Quran and throughout the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those were actually all, in a sense, important case studies. They're all case studies. And you have to look at them from that lens sometime to draw what is going on in these stories that we can learn from as far as our own family relationships are concerned. So I'll give you some scenarios. We're supposed to be the best to our parents. Allah says, وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. Stay with them in a dignified way, especially when they get old, they get difficult, and you still accompany them to the best of your ability. That's spelled out in the Quran. It's spelled out. Ibrahim alayhi salam was threatened by his father. Right? He's threatened by his father. And then, وَهَجُرْنِي مَلِيَّا. Get out of here. Go far away from me. And even as he's leaving, he's making dua for his father. But he's kicked out of the house. And he was a young man. Maybe even a youth. Maybe not even a man yet. And he's homeless. But then eventually he gets back on his feet. He has a family of his own. He's grown, right? But he never came back to his father. He never came back. So would we count that as him not doing musahaba of his father? How do we understand that? And did he not? Because in the Quran, Allah even says, فَلَمَّا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ أَنَّهُ عَدُوٌّ لِلَّهِ تَبَرَّأَ مِنْهُ. When it became clear to him that his father is an enemy of Allah, then he cut himself off from his father. He cut himself off. But then you find something very strange. You find in Surah Ibrahim, Ibrahim alayhi salam is no longer a young man, he's a very old man. And he's got children of his own, and he's extremely old ages when he had children, Ibrahim, Ismail and Ishaq. And he thanks Allah that even though he's extremely old, Alhamdulillah alladhi wahaba li ala al-kibar Ismail wa Ishaq. That's what he says. Even though I've become so old, Allah gave me the gift. I thank Allah and I praise Allah for the gift of giving me Ismail and Ishaq. In Allah sami'a dua. Okay. But then he makes a dua. He makes a series of du'as. And part of that du'a is, many of you memorized it, but you may not know where it came from. رَبِّ جَعَلِّي مُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي رَبَّنَا وَتَقَبَّلْ دُعَاءَ رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْحِسَابِ. This part of the same du'a. He's a very old man, and now he's making a du'a, and he says, Ya Allah, make me someone who establishes the prayer. And also out of my offspring, there should always remain those who establish the prayer. Ya Allah, accept my dua. Rabbana wa taqabbal dua. Ya Allah, Rabbana filli. Our Master, forgive me. Wali walidayya. And forgive both of my parents. He's an old man. He's an old man. He's already cut himself off from his father. That's already been clear. And now he's saying, forgive both of my parents. And then, for, you know, my children, my parents, and all of the believers. وَلِلْ مُؤْمِنِينَ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْحِسَابِ. So the question is, if he cut himself off from his father, isn't he supposed to not pray for him? Or what's going on here? Allah has taught us an important lesson here. Sometimes in this world, it's impossible for you to go back. Those situations exist. In fact, if you study the story carefully, Ibrahim alayhi salam would have been killed if he went back. So life is in danger. And if that's the case, he can't go back. But that doesn't mean that the relationship that Allah chose that father for him. And Allah said that Allah created a love between a father and a child. So tabarru, separating himself, cutting himself off, is one problem. But even though he's cut himself off, he's still making dua for him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was related to many people in Makkah when he made hijrah. He was still related to those people, uncles, first cousins, etc., when he was on the battlefield, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And you know what? Even then, he would make dua for them. Even when they were his enemies. Even when they were his enemies. All the way up until even Hudaybiyah, he was saying, why are they so consumed with war? He wasn't, they're an enemy because the situation has made them an enemy. But in his heart, even though he separated himself, that doesn't mean he has hatred for them. He's able to be mature. There's a maturity that Allah has taught the believer, that just because you're separated from someone doesn't mean that you have to hate them. The situation may have been such that you have to be separated. Look at another complicated situation. Yaqub alayhi salam is a father. He has many sons. According to the Bible, he has daughters also. But we know in the Quran, Allah talks about his sons. And his sons, other than Yusuf and Binyamin, his sons torture him. His sons humiliate him. He's a prophet of Allah, and they call him confused. They call him insane. They call him lost. They make fun of him. They get angry at him when he mentions Yusuf. إِنَّكَ فِي ضَلَالِكَ الْقَدِيمِ طَاللَّهِ تَفْتَأُ تَذْكُرُ يُوسُفْ.
That's how you talk to your father?
First of all, you don't talk to your father that way, and you definitely don't talk to a prophet that way. And he's both, and that's how they talk to him for years and years and years, isn't it?
In fact, even if they hear him make dua on his own, he's just crying for Yusuf,
right?
They start getting angry at them, and he says, no, I wasn't talking to you. إِنَّمَا أَشْكُو بَثِّي وَحُزْنِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. I was just complaining to Allah, I'm not talking to you.
They're that intolerant towards him. And yet, when they were going to Egypt, Yaqub alayhi salam tells them, just be careful, go from different doors. Don't lose hope in Allah's mercy. لا تيأسوا من روح الله. عسى الله أن يأتيني بهم جميعا. Maybe, hopefully Allah will unite all of my children with me. They're his blood. They're abusive towards him. And even though he's saying, leave me alone when I'm making dua, and he knows that they were lying, and he said, وَاللَّهُ مُسْتَعَانَ عَلَى مَا تُصِفُونَ. He was angry with them also, but he didn't hate them. He still has love towards them. It's complicated.
Can you imagine the pain of Nuh alayhi salam, who sees his son go down the road of kufr, not just for his entire career. He's just watching his wife and his son go down the road of kufr, and he never gives up on his son. In fact, Allah had to stop him from keeping, attached to his son. إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ إِنَّهُ عَمَلٌ غَيْرُ صَالِحٍ. So what we find in the Quran is, there are situations in which the prophets had difficult family members and they wouldn't give up on them. But situations created separation between them. Situations. And so long as the situation is there, the separation is there. So long as it's there. Now let's look at something even more interesting, or more from another perspective, Musa alayhi salam. We all know Musa alayhi salam was in Egypt and he accidentally killed somebody and he ran away. And when he ran away, he left behind his mother. He left behind his brother Harun. We also know in Surah Al-Qasas, he has a sister. Perhaps she's alive also. So those are ulul arham, right? And his mother is part of who you're supposed to be the best to. You're supposed to stay with her. But where does he go? He runs off into Madian. And he doesn't send a pigeon back. Mom, I'm over here in Madian. Everything's okay. No, there's no communication. He's out there in Madian. And not only is he in Madian, he gets married there. He starts a family there. And he stays there for a decade. He stays there for a long time. But he also believes, like all of us believe, that you have to be the best you can be to your parents. Yes or no? He believes that too. So what is that? That's the situation of life and death. If he goes back, he'll be executed. So there's no way he can communicate back with his family. He can't even risk sending a letter back to his family because it'll jeopardize the entire family. Maybe even reveal his true identity. So he can't do it. The situation is complicated. But it doesn't have to be so complicated for things to be unusual. Let me take it even a step further. In Surah Yasin, Allah Azza wa Jal describes one of His blessings, and He says, وَآيَةٌ لَّهُمْ أَنَّا حَمَلْنَا ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ فِي الْفُلْكِ الْمَشْحُونِ. There's a miraculous sign for them that we allowed them to board their children onto ships. And this is عموم اللفظ يدل على عموم المعنى. So Mufassirun say this refers to Nuh alayhi salam and the ship, but it's not limited to that, because the language is open. So if you think about the history of the world, even us sitting here, the clothes you're wearing, the glasses you have on, the socks, the shoes you have outside, the car, many of the parts of those cars or the clothes or the homes, the furnishings, and some parts came from Vietnam, some came from China, some came from Turkey, some came from this place or that. How did they get here? The world operates by trade, and trade operates by sea travel. All these freight carriers that are shipping everything, and these shipping routes around the world that nations of the world are fighting over, and that's what geopolitics is about. World civilization could not exist if human beings did not leave their family behind and traveled and traded. That's the reality of the world. It wouldn't have existed. Somebody had to let their son go, and somebody had to let their daughter go, and somebody had to let their children go and get on a ship. And that's why the world is the way it is. That's the reality of the world. And Allah says that is an ayah for their benefit. Ayatun lahum. So the same Allah who tells us we have to keep family ties is also teaching us in multiple places in the Quran that even though that is true, sometimes there are difficult realities to deal with also. In Surah Al-Muzammil, Allah says to those who travel to make a living, He says, وَآخَرُونَ يَضْرِبُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ يَبْتَغُونَ مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ. There are those who travel far distances in the world to try to pursue Allah's favor. There are students here that maybe are on a student visa at UT Austin. There's somebody who got a scholarship or is on an exchange program in Harvard or in the NYU or some other university. And they came from Jordan and they came from Pakistan and they came from Bangladesh. And they're like, Astaghfirullah, I left my home. My parents are over there. I should go back. Because you should stay with your parents. Read Quran a little more carefully, my dear. This is an ayah of Allah too. When Allah opens doors of rizq for the next generation, that is not an abandonment of your family. And those who say, I just want to go home and massage my mother's feet. This one young man came to me and said, I'm finishing my PhD in mechanical engineering. I just want to go home. I want to quit the PhD. I can't stand it anymore. I just want to serve my mother. And I said, I asked him, how are your parents doing? Well, we come from a village. Okay, is your mom healthy? No, she's not healthy. She needs medicine. I was like, so you send money back and you help with medication and all this stuff? Yeah, I do. So you basically survive by a little bit of money and the rest you send back home. That's what he does. I was like, once you finish this PhD in engineering, are there good job opportunities lined up for you? Yes, there are, but that's dunya, ya akhi. I was like, really? So you don't think once you have that job, you can provide the best care for your mother. Your mother needs your foot massage more than she needs that medication and better treatment and better care. Allah opens rizq doors, not in simplistic ways. Allah has given us an ability to see things in more mature ways in His book. What does it mean then to cut family ties? That is when you're not mature. That's when you say, I hate this person. I don't want to deal with this person. I will cut them off entirely. I mentioned extreme cases in the beginning. I'll conclude this khutbah with extreme cases. There is an extreme case of, you know, abuse, or there are people that are violent. I know of teenagers who beat up their mothers, and the mother had to call the police to save herself, and she still feels guilty. Allah will punish me because I called the police on my son. Because how can a mother show this kind of vulm to her son, right? Here's the thing about that. And that there are those who, some of you, your family member, your brother, your first cousin, your uncle stole money from you, stole the property from you. They robbed you. And then when you reported them, or you took them to court, or you called them out, you're like, Astaghfirullah. You're going to hurt a Muslim? You're going to go after a fellow believer? I'm your uncle. Family first. Right, then Islam comes. When they were stealing, Islam was on vacation. But when you call the cops, then all of a sudden, Astaghfirullah, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. But not enough istighfar to give your money back. Just enough istighfar to not call the police. Right? So it's convenient. Islam is like, so long as it serves my purpose, I can use some parts of it. The other parts of it, no. Let me just tell you, those that engage in this kind of a parent, a mother and father, either one. Sometimes a father is abusive to children and the mother just watches and says, I can't do anything. You can do a lot. You're scared to do something. Don't lie that you can't do anything. If your children are being abused and you're just sitting there watching and saying, this is Allah's test. No, no, no. You know who fed you that this is Allah's test? That's shaitan. Because Allah put you in that situation so you can stand up to something that's going on that's wrong. And when you allow that to happen inside your family, you already cut family ties. You don't have to cut family ties by getting on a ship or getting a visa or traveling somewhere else. When you violate the rights of your family, even if you live with them, even if you see them every day, you've already cut family ties. Because it's not just I live with them or I'm next to them or I see them all the time. No, 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 no. Allah didn't just create these relationships. Each of these relationships that Allah made, Allah also made rights and responsibilities with these relationships. When any member of that family decides to cut and violate those conditions that make that relationship safe. Think about this before I let you go. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Al-Muslim, man salima al-nas bil lisanihi wa yadihi. He says, the Muslim is someone, other people are safe from their tongue and from their hands. Yes? So keep this in mind. So in other words, I don't know you, you barely know me. But so long as we're Muslim, I shouldn't be saying something hurtful to you, and I shouldn't be trying to physically hurt you or your property in any way, because that's part of being Muslim, right? That's, you even owe that to strangers. In fact, Salim al-Nas is more just Muslims. Nobody should be harmed by the tongue or the hands of another from a Muslim. Even non-Muslims shouldn't be harmed. That's part of the definition of being Muslim. And Allah says, وَأُولُو الْأَرْحَامِ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلَى بِبَعْضٍ فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ. The people in your family have bigger priority in the book of Allah. So if strangers cannot be harmed by your tongue and by your hands, the first group of people that should be the safest from your tongue and the safest from your hands should be who? Your own family. Your own family. And if that, according to the Prophet ﷺ, is the definition of a Muslim, the definition of a Muslim, right? Then think about where our Islam lies. And then we say, no, this person, I stole money from my brother. I don't know why he doesn't return my calls. Well, maybe your salam should not be salamu alaikum. Ramadan is coming, Ramadan Mubarak. Maybe you should send a check along with the Ramadan Mubarak. That might mean assalamu alaikum. Because salam actually means I mean peace towards you, which means I'm going to reconcile, I'm going to fix what I did wrong. So long as the wrong is there, the thorn is there, the danger is there, the harm is there, and nothing's been done to address the harm, then you have to keep some degree of separation, even if you don't cut someone off completely. And so I'll leave you with this. Allah did not spell out, if this is the situation, do this. If this is the situation, do this. Fuqaha try to take scenarios and discuss those scenarios, but I'll give you a simple guideline. And the simple guideline that will hopefully can help every one of us is that, you know, if somebody's mother received, you know, or the father died and the inheritance was left, and the mother took all the inheritance, didn't give anything to the children, or gave it to one child and didn't allow the other children to have it. So the mother did wrong, but she's still your mother. She did something wrong, but she's still your mother. Obviously, you can't have a completely normal relationship with her because she's done something wrong. But that doesn't also mean it's so simple that you cut her off and you block her number and you never talk to her again and all that stuff. There, you still may have to work within the damage that's done and make the most of that relationship, knowing that damage has been done. I'm not telling you that Islam says pretend nothing happened. That's not what this religion says. But our religion, if there's one amazing thing about it, nothing is black and white. You have to understand how much damage is done. What should you do? What can you work with and what you cannot work with? You should still say salam. You should still check on her. If she's in the hospital, you say, well, she should have thought of that when she didn't give me my 15%. No, you can't do that. You should go to the hospital, right? You have to have maybe some degree of separation, but not entirely cut off, right? So this is the sensitivity that Allah has taught us in His book. And through the examples, I give you just a glimpse of a few examples of Prophets alayhi salatu wasalam, but there are actually many more. And if you contemplate them in the book of Allah, seeking these answers, inshallah ta'ala, Allah will open a door for you and make the most of any difficult situation you may have in your family. May Allah azza wa jal bring the hearts and minds of our families together and keep us united. And whatever has separated the ties within our families, may Allah azza wa jal help us in a mature way to overcome them and right the wrongs that other may have done or we may have done. بارك الله لي ولكم في القرآن الحكيم ونفعني وإياكم بالآيات وذكر الحكيم.
I hope you guys enjoyed that video clip. My team and I have been working tirelessly to try to create as many resources for Muslims to give them first steps in understanding the Quran all the way to the point where they can have a deep, profound understanding of the Quran. We are students of the Quran ourselves, and we want you to be students of the Quran alongside us. Join us for this journey on bayinatv.com, where thousands of hours of work have already been put in. And don't be intimidated, it's step by step by step, so you can make learning the Quran a part of your lifestyle. There's lots of stuff available on YouTube, but it's all over the place. If you want an organized approach to studying the Quran beginning to end for yourself, your kids, your family, and even among peers, that would be the way to go. Sign up for bayinatv.com.